shout and darkness runs away. Who then can stand against the power of Jesus' name?
We sing and chains are falling. We shout because there is an empty grave. We sing because we believe there's power in Jesus' name.
Sing all day.
Sing all day. Sing all night. Our hearts lifted up, arms are open high. God, we know what you can do when we lift up our voices.
Victory. It is so good to see you all this morning. Thank you for joining us for our first service in this auditorium. Let's give a round of applause to everyone that has worked so hard helping us get in here. Well, if you're new with us and it's your first time visiting, we would love to get connected with you. There is a number on the screen. You can go ahead and text that number. It's going to connect you directly with one of our leadership so we can get to learn more about you, pray with you. If you don't want to text the number, if you look in the seat behind you, there is a connect card, and you can go ahead and fill that out. You can put it in the offering box located in the back of the auditorium, or hand it to our welcome desk at the end of service. We would love to get connected with you. At this time, we're going to go into what we like to call our community minute here at Victory. So it's going to take a moment and greet those around you and introduce yourself to maybe someone you don't know. And we'll go ahead and dismiss.
Good morning, good morning. We can do better than that. Good morning. There we go. This is a time where normally we start to get our hearts ready to worship, but I want to echo what Kayla said. And something that kind of stands out to me is the amount of groups, different people we have here that have prayed for us, prayed for this, the work to be done in this building. We don't worship the building, but we worship God in this building. And he's going to do big, big things. And so I'm so thankful for everybody that's here. We've got a mission team here that's going to be serving us this week. We've got a church that's represented from Mississippi that supports us. We've got people that their work has supported us. We've got individuals that have done stuff in this building. But we've got a lot of people that have prayed for the things that are going to happen in this church. And I'm thankful for that. I want to read a scripture out of Ecclesiastes. Verse 11 down, he says, he has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also put eternity in their hearts, but no one can discover the work God has done from the beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for them to rejoice and enjoy the good life. It is also the gift of God whenever anyone eats, drinks, and enjoys all the efforts. Verse 14 says that I know that everything God does will last forever. There is no adding to it or taking from it God's work so that people will be in awe of him. Whatever it is has already been, and whatever will be already is. However, God seeks justice for the persecuted. That verse 14 that says everything, I know that everything God does will last forever. And I trust that. We trust that here at Victory. And so at this time, we go to a moment to individually to seek the Lord in prayer. We are going to ask, if you want to, you don't have to, you can pray out loud as you want. If you want to do it inwardly, you can do that, and then I will close us in prayer. So let's take a moment just to thank God and be in awe of all he's done and all he will do in our lives. Father, as the voices keep coming out, Lord, I pray that you hear the words that come from yours. Father, a bunch of believers that just want to see Jesus be made known. We're in awe of all you do and through our lives. We're in awe when we see people come to faith in Christ. We're in awe when we see just your kingdom and grow. We're not here to celebrate this little C church. We're here to celebrate the big C, and that's your kingdom. And Lord, we ask for many years to come, for one, that your word is preached faithfully in this building, that the words that are sung by the people are faithful to your word. But God, at the moment when we walk out of these doors, that we are closer to Jesus. We're more in love with the name of Jesus and who you are in our lives. But that we walk away not just in awe of what happened, but in awe of how big our God is. Lord, I lift up these prayer requests and put them at your feet, Jesus, and we ask that you just move our heart, no matter the reason we're here, but just for the next hour, that we're focused on bringing you the worship that you deserve. God, we thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you for all you've done and all you will do in the lives of the people of Victory Church, and the lives of the people that traveled in, and just the visitors. God, we ask for you to move in a mighty way amongst all of us. That people don't see self, but they see Jesus. In Jesus' holy, holy name, amen.
Join us as we continue in worship this morning.
My sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. And your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my funeral's to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace, so great, washes over. Chains, I'm a prisoner. My shame was a ransom, he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt, and he called me his friend. When darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost.
But then Jesus arose with our freedom in heaven. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, the grace of peace, now she's over me. In that day, we knew my life begins with you.
It's your love.
It's your endless love pouring down on us. In that day, we knew my life begins with you. The world by darkness lay. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose.
With the prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for every single person in this room. Lord, we prayed and prayed for this day, and only you got us here. Only you brought us together and made your church all known throughout the world. And we're just privileged to be a small part of that worldwide kingdom. I thank you for our pastor, Pastor Nathan. I pray that you give him the right words to speak. Let you speak through him, Lord, and let our hearts be open and ready for what you have us today. In your heavenly name, amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I was having a conversation earlier and says I'm a big ball of emotions. Reading that text, that just being in awe of what God has done, that's where the emotion is. Spurgeon says, as James instructs us, we are to wait upon God and not lose heart. A man to whom it is given to wait for reward keeps up his courage, and when he has to wait, he says, it is no more than I expected. I never reckoned that I was to slay my enemy at the first blow. I never imagined that I was to capture the city as soon as I had digged the first trench. I reckoned upon waiting, and now that it has come, I find that God gives me the grace to fight on and wrestle on. Today's title of the message is Waiting on the Lord, and for me, that's a hard one. People in this room can agree that waiting on the Lord sometimes is a challenge. You're probably wondering, you might have sat down on one of these. Well, be patient. You'll learn in a little bit what it is for. You're going to have to wait a little longer. But the reality is all throughout this journey and what God has done, I say it shocks me, but in just a moment, we get to see God show up and be what God does big and just shows up, right? And so back in September, we started this study through James, and it's taken a long time, and we're only a few weeks away from finishing up the study of James. And a couple weeks ago, I was looking to see what today's message would be on, and it was waiting on God. And what perfect awe, there's some people in this room that have waited to be in this building, this part of this building, for years. I only had to wait for 10 months, and it felt like years. I have bled putting things together in this room, but at the moment, God gets all the glory, all the glory. And I want to say thank you just being here to worship with us. There's nobody that's a part of Victory Church that gets the praise. It is Jesus who gets the praise and all the work he has done and how he has worked this all out for his good. And then James instructs this early church to wait. All throughout, we talked a couple weeks ago about waiting on or looking at our will versus God's will. And James tells us it is a sin to know good and yet not do it. And then last week he gave a warning to worry about material things. And then now we get to see about waiting for the Lord. And he tells us in just two truths, if you're taking notes, I'll give you a little snippet, is a heart of trust and a heart of endurance. And so for me, as I'm reading through this passage of these three verses, is that James is telling this early church that, hey, if you wait on the Lord, it shows that you as a believer, you have a heart of trust and a heart of endurance. Because for me, I lack patience. You can ask my family. I'm horrible at it. When it gets to long road trips, I drive a little fast so I can get there faster. Sometimes I try to make special trips around roads so I get there faster. There's been moments that I've got into the line at Chick-fil-A or at McDonald's, and I felt like the line was going too slow, so I pulled into a parking spot just to see the cars that I were behind leave the parking lot. I lack in the patience. There's been moments in my life during this process of church planting that I've been like, God, can you show up now? I want this now. 3 years ago, God called my family to plant in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I didn't know what that looked like, but God's timing was perfect. Around this time, we said we would have the biggest service we ever had, and look what happened. God's timing is perfect. But he tells us in this text, and the context is awaiting on Jesus' arrival. He's going to come back to get us. And James is telling this church, hey, look, be patient, brothers and sisters. And so I want us, through the next few moments that we're on this little journey together, leading what God has for us, I want us to, just this 100-foot overview real quick, is to see through these three verses in James chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, is it emphasizes the importance of patience, unity, and perseverance, reminding Christians to keep their focus on the imminent return of Christ, because it will happen. But two things to catch on to. One is when life is good, you don't ever hear anybody say, well, Jesus will return soon. But when life is hard, maybe you're the guilty like me. You say, I can't wait for Jesus' return. In this moment, while we're patiently waiting for Christ to return, we have got a calling as believers to do something in the midst of that patience, and that is to trust our Savior. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, God. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, a time that we get to come together and worship, a time that we get to sit back out of our busy, hectic week and come together with like-minded believers and get to sing the praises and sing about how you're risen and sing about victory in Jesus. And then we get to hear your word, how you've called us to be patient and wait on you and not focus on our things, but to focus on your return. And God, my prayer is the moment that we say our last amen and we sing our last song and we get up and we have lunch, that the big thing is that we walk away more in love with Jesus. That we walk away wanting to see Jesus made known more in our life. Lord, I ask for you to bless our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. First point is we see a heart of trust. Look at verse 7. It says, therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. I want to pause there for a second. And what James is telling this early church is that word be patient isn't a recommendation. It's not a, hey, wait in line and the time will come. It is a command. It is a truly, to understand the context, he gives us an example. He gives us example. Look what he says after this. He says, be patient until the Lord's coming. He says, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and late rains. I don't have a farmer background, right? So this right here didn't reside to me. I'm thankful that I lived in an area for 5 years where we had farmers in our church, and I learned a lot. It takes patience to be a farmer, a lot. You do all this work, and sometimes the rains don't come like they're supposed to, and your work goes void. But I want us to put this into context, is what James is saying here, this illustration about this farmer. Is that early rain that he talks about is probably from October to February. And this late rain is probably April, May area. But this is what a farmer does as he patiently waits on his harvest. He waits with a reasonable hope and an expectation of a reward. He waits a long time. He waits working all the while. He waits depending on things out of his own power with his eye of the heavens. He awaits despite changing circumstances and many uncertainties. He waits encouraged by the value of the harvest. He waits encouraged by the work and harvest of others. He waits because he really has no other option. He waits because he does no good to give up. He waits aware of how the seasons work. He waits because as time goes on, it becomes more important and not less to do so. He waits because there's value behind it. When James is saying, hey, brothers and sisters, as a believer in this room, he is telling you right now as you read this text, hey, brothers and sisters, be patient. The Lord is coming near. And for just imagine what this looks like for us in our context, you guys have probably heard this illustration or analogy is when we die, there's a date and a date, and there's this really impactful line in between it. right? We celebrate the birth, and sometimes we celebrate the death, and we rejoice that God has taken us home. But what is the work that we're doing as a believer in that dash mark? Is we have a heart of trust. Do you trust? Like, hear me, Victory Church and visitors, hear me. Do you trust that Jesus is coming back? Because if you trust that Jesus is coming back, then we don't waste the days. We're going to be obedient in sharing the gospel. We're going to live like we love Jesus. We're going to show that we trust that he's returning. Because the reality is, if you don't have that trust, if you don't have that patience and all these things, then we live amongst the things we want. We don't have a heart of trust in Jesus. We have a heart to trust self. And what James is telling us, and all throughout the book of James, is that, look, people's preference, people's decisions, if you seek your own will, all throughout it, there's drastic measures that have gone bad for these people, this church. And it doesn't add, he keeps going, he says, look, be patient, brothers and sisters. Just like the farmer, do we understand this context of what it looks like to understand this? I wanted to look up what the definition of being patient is, and it says in the context, a biblical definition of James says, in the context, James fully trusting in the Lord and his process. The farmers planted the seeds and watched for the rain. We as believers must have a heart of trust and watch God just be God. That's the problem, is we want to play God in our life and we want to not be patient in what he's called us to do. We want to speed this process up. We want to do the things that we want. My prayer is throughout this process that today was the day the Lord wanted us in this room for the first time. That's my prayer, is that we were patient. There was a lot of prayer that went into, there was a lot of patience in this matter. But you in your life, do you have a heart of trust? For me, I talked about how I struggle with patience. I struggle, I get into the line, and sometimes I've walked into the restaurant and I've seen the same cars I was behind leaving, probably done with their meal by the time I even order. Patience speeds up things that weren't meant to happen, right? Or lack of patience. I'm thankful that my wife lets me know that, see, if you would have just stayed in line, look what would have happened. We would have already been eating, and now you're grumpy, you're angry, all these things. The same thing goes with the walk of, in our walk with the Lord. If we just stop and just soak in and let God be God and have a heart to trust him fully in the plan he has for his for our life and his sovereignty, if we trust his sovereignty, I promise you the lack of faith will dwindle, because you will see God do God things. But when you in your life and me in my life, I'm looking in a mirror, when I try to speed this up and don't have patience and trust in Jesus, it's a terror. And then I go, why did God not show up? And it's because I wanted to step out on my will and say, look, I know what's better for my life than God. Just like these farmers. He uses this perfect illustration to say, hey, look, we don't want you to lose heart. We want to be patient. But a farmer, he waits on these things. He soaked in on these moments. He did the work. He planted the seed and then he waited. And God blessed it. The farmer has a heart of trust. Do us in this room have a heart of trust? The second point is a heart of endurance. A heart of endurance. Again, I struggle with patience. Many years ago, about 8-9 years ago, I felt God was calling me to ministry, but he wasn't providing a job. And so I tried to speed this process up. Got on staff at a church that I should not have been on staff at in Memphis. And it didn't work out. Things were not agreed. We agreed on things and it didn't happen. There was a lot of church hurt. And so I thought it would be cool that Nathan wanted to be a fireman. I was going to go be a fireman. That was what I wanted to be. And so I come to find out, I did this mental test and I passed it, and that was cool. Didn't study for it, but the Lord provided in that area. Then I found out there was a physical test. I didn't know about that part. So I show up to do the physical test, and the first part of this test is you go on an elliptical, and you have an 85-pound weight vest. And you're not allowed to touch the sides. If you touch the sides for 1 second, a horn goes off and you automatically fail. So I get there. I did not try. I did not practice. I did not prepare for this. 5 seconds in, I fail. So I knew I had two more chances. I didn't have the patience to practice and put this in. I went and did the test again, and I failed. Finally, I woke up and I said, I've got to buy a weight vest and I've got to practice. And so I practice and I practice. Well, I get past this part and I'm working my way through it. Well, then I forgot about all the other parts and failed. But God shows up in big ways. As I, in that moment, didn't have a heart of endurance. I didn't have it. Look at verse 8. It says, you also must be patient. He says, strengthen your hearts. So in this moment, you can get your little Jenga cube out, and I'll explain that. But where James says, look, you also must be patient. He mentions it again, so it's a little bit of importance. You know, if you usually hear something twice, it means something. So James says, look, strengthen your hearts. Now here's what I want us to understand. Is when we build a foundation on our life and what we want for our life, there's no firm foundation. You guys have read that text in Matthew. But the reality is, I've got a deck of cards here. And I'm not very good at building house of cards. But I'm going to try. And when we strengthen our hearts with worldly things, okay? Maybe it's our jobs, right? We put it here. And then we get to the reality is, it's relationships. I need to strengthen my heart. James tells me to strengthen my heart. So I'm going to build it in the relationships around me. So we're getting there, right? We're trying to build this house. And then maybe that's not enough for me, so I build it in my church community. Not the gospel or not God, but in the church community. That strengthens my heart. So I keep going. And then not just even reading my Bible. I don't want to know Jesus more, but I just want to know some Bible knowledge. And so, look, I'm trying here to build this house of cards. And look, just like life, when we do things like that and we build it and we try to strengthen our hearts on these things, it just falls over. That's what it looks like when James, not what James is telling us to strengthen our hearts, but reality is this, is when we strengthen our hearts on these things, is we have a firm foundation in Jesus. Then I put the community of the church around me. I put my relationship with Jesus, continue to build upon it. I seek the Lord in prayer. I seek the time of reading my word, not to know the word, but to know Jesus and love him more. It continues to build up. Just like James tells us, to be patient and strengthen our hearts. The only way you can be patient, like James has called us to do to strengthen your heart, is to have the foundation in Jesus. Is to have that relationship with the God that loves you enough to send his son to die for you. If you don't have that foundation, it is impossible to strengthen your heart and improve and be patient like he has called us to do. We all in this room, I hope and pray that we understand that Jesus will return. And if you didn't know that, Jesus will return. And he's going to come back and get his. But the people who try to build their life on these cards and the things of this world, these not just secular items, but worldly items, maybe it's alcohol, maybe it's relationship, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's friendships, whatever it is, you might have a good house for a short time, but eventually it's going to fall. That being patient on Jesus, when he returns, it will fall. There's nothing. But the reality is when this firm foundation in Jesus, and you have been a born-again believer, repented of your sins, and trusted in his word and the work he did on the cross and how he defeated, you've got a foundation that can't be destructed. It's strong. It's stout. It cannot be knocked down. And as we strengthen our heart and we patiently await upon the arrival of Christ, and we just keep putting things like prayer and sharing the gospel and all these things, serving on mission trips, the house continues to build. And it continues to build. All these things we do continues to build. And the reality, what James says, you also must be patient, strengthen your hearts, because the Lord is coming near. We can say with reality, we're being patient, because we're soaking in our relationship and our walk with Jesus, and we just want to see it increase. Not because we want to feel better about ourselves, because we want to love Jesus more. And that's the things we do. And that is what James is telling this early church, because if you go back and read James, it's a bunch of disaster that happens. He says that people's preferences were killing the church. He says that individuals, they cared more about reality of what the carpet looked like or the lights in the room than they cared about making Jesus known. They were strengthening their hearts on sin. Today, we still have little C churches that are doing the same thing. Instead of being firm in the foundation of what we do, we don't come in here to celebrate together. We come in here to worship Jesus together. And that's the things we do to strengthen our hearts. And that is what James is telling us, is we must be patient. Strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. The reality is, if you're not patient and waiting on the Lord, I can't tell you, and we're not going to get into end times today, but I cannot tell you if Jesus is coming today, we might not even eat the barbecue lunch later. He might come before then. I don't know. I hope I get the brisket first, but he might come back. But the reality is, are you ready? Is that dash mark in your life? Do you have a heart of trust? Do you have a heart of endurance? Are you prepared for his coming? Because you have not built this house of cards on worldly things, but you have built your life on the foundation of Christ. And it is ready for his return because you know without a doubt that you are a born again believer, that the sins of your life were washed away by the blood of Jesus. And then he loves you enough to say, hey, I'm not just going to die for you, I'm going to defeat death for you. We must be patient and strengthen our hearts. One thing I love about that is I'm a CSB guy, and that's the text we use, but I love the ESV version of this. He says, establish your hearts, build it, strengthen it, build it. And so my encouragement to you is you have a jingle block. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know if you have a heart of trust. I don't know if you have a heart of endurance. Because the reality is, just like me in that fireman test, I wasn't ready for what it was bringing. This world, you might in this room right now not be ready for what the world is bringing. But if you strengthen your hearts on the foundation of Christ, you will be ready. I want to encourage you to take that jingle block home. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're not a born-again believer, let that be a reminder that Jesus loves you and that he died for you and he defeated death for you. And that is the start of your foundation. That is the start of your trust. That is the start of your endurance. Maybe you're in this room and you are a believer, but you're a laid-back believer. You're not strengthening your heart with the gospel or the things of the gospel. You're not putting yourself around people that are going to push you to love Jesus more. Let that be a reminder to start building on your foundation of Christ. Maybe you're in this room and you're seeking the Lord the best you've ever had and you have the greatest relationship you've ever had with the Lord. Then let that be a reminder that it can continue to grow and you can love Jesus more. Jesus can be seen in your life more. Do we have that trust? I want to read from a commentary. It says, this one is a bit obvious, but sometimes the hardest to execute. We must trust him in all things. Proverbs 3:5, but here we see Jesus commanded again, have faith in God. Have complete trust and complete confidence. If we have faith in God, feeling to worry, stress, anxiety, fear, and doubt should never surface. If we have faith in God, then we completely trust that he will provide all provision needed. Not only do we trust him to provide provision, but we are completely confident that he will provide us with an abundant life as well. Do we build it up on prayer? Do you pray like you mean it? Do you pray like God is in the room sitting right beside you? Do you spend time in his holy word? We must know that the word of God, we must make time to sit down, curl up in our Bibles. We need his word inside in our minds and in our hearts. Knowing God's word goes hand in hand with trusting God. And do we live out the word in our life? We've done all that reading, studying, and note-taking. Now it's time to start using our knowledge, applying the word of God to the lives we live. It will deepen our walk, and it will deepen our trust, and it will deepen our endurance. And then finally, James tells us in verse 9, he says, brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look and judge stands at the door. Reminder that James was writing to the people that were in such a miserable state. They were probably at each other's throats. In reality, in that church, somebody over here said amen, and the person over here didn't like the way they said amen, so they were ready to fight. That's how bad state this church was. And it's because they built their house on worldly things, and they were strengthening their hearts in things that didn't matter instead of the gospel. So James goes on to tell us, look, strengthen your hearts. Be patient, strengthen your hearts. Be ready for when the Lord comes. And he says, look, do not complain about one another. Those things flow in the way that the church acts. This is what I love about today. And I'm not going to go into full details. I'm afraid I'll miss somebody. But in reality is, all throughout this, you could turn around and somebody in this room or somebody they know has impacted all this. Through prayer, through work, through churches that have supported us and continue to support us. One thing I love about Victory Church, we are proud of the local church, but we are more proud about the big church, because that's what matters, is the kingdom of God. And everybody in this room, if you take your Jenga block and you take it serious in reality and build it on the foundation of Jesus and strengthen your heart, the way we treat others inside this building, outside this building, will show the gospel. And then reality is, if somebody that doesn't trust Jesus and hasn't trusted Jesus yet, the way you treat them, the way you love them, the way you respond in matters that are hectic, they're going to see Jesus through you, and you just shared the gospel with them without sharing the gospel with them. So my encouragement is build your life on a solid foundation of Jesus. Continue to put things in your life that are going to strengthen your relationship, because the reality is, when people see us, is we want him to be victorious. And that is where Victory Church's name comes from. We don't want to be victory. We want victory in Jesus and through our lives and in through our church and in through our community and in through our state and in through our world. We want Jesus to be made known. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up. And at this time, we have a time of response. And everybody's time of response looks different. Maybe you're sitting here, and this is your life right here. It's a deck of cards. It's unorganized. It needs to be shuffled. You continue to just try to build a foundation on the things of the world, and it's not working. It's not going to work. But you're hard-headed, and you continue want to seek these things because it's fun. It's appealing. Your friends do it. Maybe your response, if it's up here at the altar, if it's at your seat, as you respond to Lord, show me that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Maybe you're in this room right now and you have this foundation, but it's just the foundation. You have done nothing to strengthen it. You have done nothing to improve it. You love Jesus the same as yesterday as you did 2 weeks ago. My prayer is that you come to a time of response with the Lord and you ask him to show you ways to love him more. But of all things, all our goal at the end of all this is that Jesus gets the victory. And if you build your house on cards and the worldly things, Jesus doesn't get victory. But he loves you enough that he died for you and he defeated death for you. If you didn't hear anything else I said, I promise you, Jesus loves you. And he died for you, and there's not a sin in this room that he can't conquer. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your greatness. Father, we ask that the people in this room have a heart of trust, the trust in the work you've done, the trust in the love you have for us. And then, Lord, we have a heart of endurance to keep fighting when things get hard. Keep fighting when we don't see God being God. Keep fighting to make you known in our lives and through our lives and the people's lives around us. God, we want to see you glorified. As we sing, Lord, I pray that our hearts are ready to worship you the way you deserve to be worshiped. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we respond.
Hey, you guys can be seated. I want to just let you know a few things that are going on in the life of our church. Two things that we can absolutely say about Victory Church is we love Jesus and we love to pray. And so I want to encourage you this week, we have a prayer emphasis in the bulletin. Pray for those things with us this week. There's things that God are doing. As you walk through the door, you saw some ping pong balls. Those are people that we're praying for, and those are people that have heard the gospel. And so we want to continue praying for those. Also, we want to invite everybody to stay afterwards for a lunch. Adults are $8, kids are $4. If finances are a reason, please come talk to me. We don't want to let you hold that back. We want to just have a time to fellowship and celebrate together and just eat some good food. Also, want to thank a mission team from Woodland Hills Baptist in Newcastle, Oklahoma, that drove down last night to help us get the gospel across the Cape this week. And so I'm thankful for you guys sacrificing this week and thankful for the work you're going to do here. I'm thankful again for everybody that traveled at all to come here. Thank you so much to be here to worship with us, to see him get the victory. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. And Lord, as we sing one more song, Lord, I pray that we give you the glory you deserve by the way we sing, that we realize that we're singing to the King of Kings, the God that saves, and we thank you, Jesus, for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
So if it's your first time with us, you wouldn't know, but we like to end service praising our way out here. Okay, so obviously we're not leaving because we have lunch afterwards, but we're going to praise our way out of this room. So we're going to end with our song of the month that talks about a name. The Bible says there's a name above every name, and every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. So stand with us. If you don't know the song, join us as you kind of learn it as we sing our song of the month, I Know a Name.
Roaring waves, I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name, it's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. I call you Jesus, I call you grace.
Dismissed. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
You said I gotta die to live. So God, I'm